It's the Metal Show with Gully and Joe, and this week we are doing, well, I asked Joe for a summer album because, like, this week has been fucking roasting, hasn't it, really? Let's be honest, Joe.
Yeah, couldn't have picked a better time for it.
Yeah, I was just like, I need some summer music to walk around in my shorts and think about festivals, them things that we used to be able to go to at some stage last year. But, like, I'm going to let you talk a bit more about it because you told me to listen to it and I did, and I'll talk about it more as we get into the review.
Yeah, well, Gully said last week we wanted something a bit different, something a little off, different to the styles that we normally review. It was originally the Rock Show with Gully and Joe, and then it came the Metal Show with Gully and Joe, and we've been, you know, diving into the sort of deeper depths of things, so we kind of wanted to bring things back a little more to the rock. What's the word? Well, mind you, we did Nirvana long ago.
But yeah, we mixed it up.
You wanted an album that was good to listen to in the summer, and this is one of my go-to albums in the summer. I don't listen to it. There was a time it would be a soundtrack for a couple of months, and then it's one of those albums that I revisit every year, at least once, and try and dig it out, if not every other year. A little known album at the time, but it's kind of become kind of a cult classic as the years have gone by, and that's Slip by Quicksand. Do you want me to talk about how I first got into it and how
Well, it came out in February 9th, 1993 on Polydor, and let's talk about the cover. Yeah, it's fresh out of the 90s, that fucking cover. It's like potato stamp.
Yeah, there was just this thing of, like, just random shit on album covers in that time. Do you not think?
It felt like they just got, like, you know, as a kid, you'd make stamps of stars and moons and shit, and you just stamp it with a multicolour thing. A lot of the albums look like a potato stamp, and this is no different from that era.
Yeah,
to be completely honest.
I didn't know if it was a reference to a song lyric or if there was like the art was significant in some way. And I've had a look around, but I can't find anything. So if anyone wants to, if someone knows something we don't, feel free to leave some comments or send us a message and I'll correct it next thing. But yeah, I mean, this is what emo is. Now, what pissed me off with the whole emo thing is that emo was pretty much dead for a good 10 years. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of fucking bands come out that weren't emo in any way, shape, or form. And all of a sudden, they were emo. So My Chemical Romance, The Used, fucking
Mr. Child Rapist Band.
Thursday were another one. I suppose Thursday were a little. The thing is with Thursday, they just never had any songs. But yeah, this was what emo was. It was short for emotional hardcore or something like that. It was basically a bunch of people that were in hardcore bands that kind of matured as musicians. And when their bands broke up, they went on and formed new bands that was a bit more. They kind of took the rock, you know, took like classic rock or maybe even a bit of grunge.
Mm.
But they had, you know, still kept that kind of hardcore edge in a lot of ways. So another band, Far, were another big band from that sort of era. What did they do? They did an album. I can see the fucking the album cover. I can't remember what it was called. But it was like a close-up of a disco ball. There was always like these album covers where it was like a close-up of a fucking golf ball or a lamp or...
It was arty farty. It was like fucking the late 60s, early 70s had been reborn for album covers.
It was as if as well they wanted to just something that just looked cool but didn't make sense. But the fact that it didn't make sense just meant you didn't get it. There was a lot of that going around.
Hidden meanings and all that shit.
Do you remember as well there was that fucking thing of like there'd be just some woman. There'd be like a picture of a woman in the middle of a road and there'd be like ongoing traffic round her. So they'd take this like mid-paced loads of stuff going on in the background with this still image in the middle. The amount of fucking people that use that as an album cover.
The same fucking cameraman who like just milked it.
Yeah, loads of different collages of photos and it was all...
Mm.
It was like random, meaningless. what does this mean? I don't fucking know. We just put it there. Yeah.
It's probably a better cover than the last album we reviewed, to be completely honest, though, if I'm going to say anything. But, like, yeah, there was a trend.
You're still salty about that, yeah?
Yeah, just a little bit salty, but this might not be a salty episode.
I'll tell you what, we might have to do... I'd like to do a newer... Because we did Accept quite a few months ago. I'd like to do one of the newer albums with Mark... I can't pronounce his surname. I can read it, but I can't.
Yeah,
but yeah, one of the newer era of Accept, because I think that would have been what Primal Fear is, but
not as shit.
It might actually work for you. Yeah, Luke's been banging on about that band for ages, and I just thought, oh, something different. It's a new album. Let's just try it. I wasn't actually into the band. You got to dip
it in.
You got to dip it in there and then. Gully. And,
yeah, sometimes you just got to block a bitch and that album's got blocked. yeah, that's all I'm going to say.
So I'll give you a bit of background. Basically, this is the main guy in this band, Walter...
Just call him Wally.
Yeah, I've never actually said that name out loud before.
Is he the bassist?
Schreffels, he's the vocalist and guitarist. When I was a young little whippersnapper, I was getting into hardcore,
and
I was going to fucking, I was going to see all the old school London bands, you know, Knuckle Dust and Free Bass and Unite, and I got into. I basically dived in like I do with everything. I worked my way from the top and then work my way down to all the dregs of the scene, and then I get sick of it and move on. So what is this hardcore thing all about? Again, I was getting into Stamping Ground, Knuckle Dust. I was watching all the UK bands. And then I sort of thought, well, what is this? Then I moved into the American stuff, so sick of it all. Agnostic Front.
Scratch that surface!
Yeah, and I love Sick of It All.
Amazing. I'd love to see them live. That would be a fucking gig.
You can take or leave their albums, but they would go up against anyone live. Biohazard were another gateway as well.
So, I've seen them on a fucking... I think it was on a Metallica bill at Donington, when it was called Donington. They were down, and it was just like... Everyone was just getting into them. Biohazard, man.
Oh, Biohazard, yeah.
Good fucking fun gig.
Good live band as well. And that's a lot of people kind of forget that now, you know, with a band like Biohazard, for example, they had the biggest pits, you know, it was all about crowd participation. And I think a lot of bands, that what they lacked from a musical technical standpoint, they made up for in the live setting. So I've dug a bit deeper and I've discovered two bands, Youth of Today and Gorilla Biscuits. Now, Walter Schreveler was in Gorilla Biscuits.
Walter? Wally?
And he went on to... He joined Youth of Today, but I think it was basically just as a mate helping out basis. I think he might have done bass on an album or something like that. So, Gorilla Biscuits, Youth of Today, they all break up. Youth of Today kind of developed, because it was the singer and the guitarist that kind of carried on under a new project called Shelter, which were signed to Roadrunner. I don't know if you may have heard of them. And they kind of did like a kind of punky, poppy... It was like, yeah, it was still hardcore punk, but they're good, like, sort of catchy songs, like song All Around the World and things like that. Anyway, Gorilla Biscuits split up and went on to do the vocalist was called Siv, and he did a solo project just under the name Siv, which was, and the backing band were all Gorilla Biscuits anyway. And Walter didn't join Siv, but he did produce their first album. So the first Siv album was basically the unknown or unofficial third Gorilla Biscuits album, if that makes sense. And then Walter went on to do Quicksand, which we're reviewing now. So how did I hear of Quicksand? I kept seeing them getting around the time I got into the Deftones and sort of bands like the Deftones. I kind of like that strummy sort of the way they would kind of go off into a little weird spacey moments when they weren't like, I suppose the first album was kind of Korn like, but the second and third album, like, I didn't even do anything off the song, but you instantly recognise that as a Deftones sort of cold.
They were quite corny at first, I agree with that completely. And then they just found their own, which was good for them.
They were always being compared to Quicksand, and any band that sort of did that kind of thing as well, I just kept hearing Quicksand, Quicksand, Quicksand. And then the term emo kept coming up, and I just like, what the fuck is this Quicksand band all about? So I knew Slip was the album to look out for. I found that in the magazines and whatnot. Couldn't find the fucking thing anywhere. It's before mail order, before fucking Amazon. So normally when a relative would go, because my uncle moved out to America, he got a new job, and he went out to New Jersey, and we went out once. I think my mum and my sister went out another time, but my uncles and everyone at some point would go out and see my uncle for a week or two. So if anyone was going to America, I would always give them a list of CDs that were just hard to find. And I remember my uncle went out there once and he brought me back this, Quicksand, and Refused, The Shape of Punk to Come. That's a fucking good album. So when was that? Fuck, I was about 17, 18. No, fucking not even that. Probably about 16, thinking of it. Probably about 16, 17,
With a really high pitched voice.
Yeah, that kind of, put it this way, I can't remember the last time I listened to a Deftones album. I don't even think I've got any anymore. But I'll still put this on now and then. And I really got into as well, this is another sort of time frame. Walter Schrader he formed a new band called Rival Skulls.
Who put out, I've heard of that,
a fantastic album called United by Fate, which is kind of Quicksand picking up where Quicksand left off, really. That was a really good album. I was listening to that, to both albums, really. I was listening to this Quicksand and the first Rival Skulls album. Quicksand reformed a few years ago. I think they've done a couple of albums since then, actually. And I remember when they played live, I just weren't really that bothered about seeing them because it was kind of, I kind of moved on. It was like, this is a good album from a certain time, but I didn't really see the need to go watch it live in the 2000s, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it kind of is what it is for when it was.
I was happy to listen to an album from that time and leave it in that time. No doubt, though. I mean, I've seen a couple of... There's some live full concerts on YouTube when I did a bit of research for this. And I did think, oh, fuck it, maybe I'll give it a go. But what I like about Walter Schrader is... I've never fucking actively... I don't go to see what he's up to. I don't seek him out. But he always finds a way of finding me. He's always got like a new band going, or... He did like... I saw some magazine article. He was doing an acoustic tour all around the UK, and he was driving himself as well.
He's like a musical boomerang.
Yeah, he's just always doing something. And I saw Gorilla Biscuits when they reformed, actually, and he was with them. And you see this shows where people are doing like their whole album, or a particular album in full. Gorilla Biscuits played every song they ever recorded that night.
Wow.
And mind you, they didn't do a lot. two albums and an EP, and the albums are like fucking 25 minutes each. Hold on, let me put my camera on. This is a really good album. Gorilla Biscuits, Start Today. Really good. It's literally fucking teenagers, and the production sounds like it was recorded in the kitchen. But it's full of energy and full of good songs. So it was good to see them. And during that time, during that gig, they actually did a Civ song. One of them started playing it, like, thing, and he went, oh, fuck it, shall we just do it? And everyone went, way, and they did it. And then he even went, who wants to hear some Quicksand? And, and he went, Walter, play something for Quicksand. And you see him go like, for fuck's sake. Like, he had to kind of like find his feet and go in, and it sort of just went, oh, what song did, what was it? I reckon and then the drummer, bam, 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 and they did a couple of chords off a fucking out of a quicksand song.
Nice.
And then, the crowd sort of went mad a little bit, and they did about four bars, and then
Yeah, fuck off. Song. We're playing this now. Yeah. That's all you're getting, because that was then. This is now, bitches. Well, I kind of knew fuck all about them, but they were weirdly on my 90s fucking listen to music, to be fair. So that's as much as I can say. But like, the first song we're kicking off with is Phaser. I like the intro. It sounds a bit prongy. I heard this when it came out. I probably headbanged to this in the Crazy House in Liverpool. It's got very catchy hooks, and yes, it's a summer song, this one. Little bit of bass on this one, which is a good opener, and it kind of sets the stall out for where they're going to go, and you know what to expect from them from this song. And that's what I actually really like, a band that sets the stall out straight away. This is who we are, and this is what you're going to get. And yeah, good opener. Top opening track for me.
Yeah, when you say, did you know the band or did you not know the band? And when you heard this song, you went, oh, fuck, I know this.
I did not know the band. It was played somewhere and somehow in the 90s, and I've heard it, and it's been played in clubs, and I've heard bang to it, and that's all I can remember. And I'm like, fuck me, I've heard this before. So, yeah.
Fugazi was another one of those bands as well. They started out as Minor Threat, who Slayer covered on the Undisputed Attitude album. Minor Threat, and then Ian Mackay went on to do Fugazi. That's another tidbit for you. Let's get into the thing. Yeah, I was just reading a few different articles about it as well and seeing what the background was. And yeah, it looks like it's, as a slow burner, become a bit of a classic over the years. But apparently this opening track was pretty big on college radio. And this is a college rock album, really. I think it perfectly catches that sort of age, really, where you. Some of the fucking lyric themes in this as well. It's stuff that everyone goes through, and not everyone really talks about. You know, being self-conscious about being on your own in a restaurant. The lyrics of this one are about, you know, notice. Basically, like, kind of standoffish in subcultures. This guy's a punk, this guy's a metaler, this guy's this or that, a skater. It's all very good, but really catchy song. Really, I love that. I mean, it took me a while to really get into it, but now when I hear that, I'm like, dun, 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 you know,
it's a good little opener, man. It proper just. You understand what they're about in the first song, and for a debut album, that's what you want to do. Stick your shit out and let people hear what you do and what your vibe is, and it does it well.
Yeah, I noticed the songs as well. They kind of all kind of revolve around a riff, but the songs always build up and build up, and then it's always like a climax at the end, and. There's some really good solos in this thing, but in that sort of section where a solo would go, the songs kind of go off on their own little tangent. They always sort of go off on their own little journey and then come back to where the song started to before. But those little mini sections where they go off, that's where the gold is on this album, I find. It's the little sections within the song that you have to dig into, and they reveal themselves after repeated listens. And fucking hell, I've been listening to this album since I was a teenager, and it's an album that I always find myself coming back to and enjoying, and always finding or remembering something different from before.
I get that. Head to the Wall, it's a good track, and I feel like, again, I've heard it before because it feels very recognisable, but like for the 90s, for me, it was pretty hazy. This is festival music, this shit, though. It is. It's like fucking being in a hot, sweaty pit, chugging like half flat fucking warm beer, pissed out of your head and just loving it. And it's got like a nice groove and a nice feel to it, and you can make out all the instruments. The vocals are a little bit like centered in the mix, but like this track is fucking proper spot on, man. This is my favorite track so far. This one steps up and it's just like, yeah, you just get that vision and you're fucking walking around in your t-shirt, you stink because you've been out fucking all night partying, and this is this is middle of the festival music. This is the fucking Wednesday afternoon pissed. Yes, this is fun. That's what it is.
I mean, yeah, this is not different, but to me, this is a sweaty venue. This is in the middle of summer. You're at a bar. The sun's going down. You're in the middle of a city. It's a good atmosphere, and then you go into this shitty little venue that you have to walk down some stairs to get to. And this band are playing this album would be fucking awesome. I mean, when they reformed, if they were playing somewhere like the Underworld, I probably would have gone. And yeah, just I can just picture the bands in a rehearsal room just going over these songs over and over again. You can tell that the four, they've all been experienced. They've all cut their tape in previous bands, and then they've come together with a bit of a half a clue what to do, and they've just gone with the flow, and they brought these 12 songs out. And Walter's vocals as well, he's not a trained singer. He's not a particularly bad singer either, but you could just tell he's in the moment and just barking the lyrics out. And he's not really made, he might not, you know, hit a certain note or certain thing, but because his emotions, he means everything he's saying, and he's in the moment whilst performing it. There's certain notes that he's probably not hitting or fucking up, but because the emotion behind it, a professional singer probably wouldn't be able to do manipulate their voice that way because they're not putting the same amount of balls in it. So
it's emotional background, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is the thing with this is where I disagree with Luke, a regular guest on the show. He likes
shit albums like the last one though.
he says like punk was all about a lack of music ability. It wasn't. It was about
100% emotion.
Yes, it was about scale. Prog rock was in its thing at the time. They wanted to scale it down to its bare minimum in order to drown out all the bullshit. And what punk was all about, it was about emotional honesty. It was, you don't need to have a fucking orchestra behind you in order to provide an emotion. And that's why it was basically, no, guitar, bass, drums, fuck going to college to study fucking crescendos and all the rest of it. And this is something Luke actually buys into himself. He's like, you know, fuck all that tapping along to a beat shit. Music should be from the soul. I'm just going to play. It's like, well, yeah, you should like punk. But, yeah, that's a disagreement I have. But
he's a wrong'un.
But he can respond to that when he's on the show next. But
he's definitely anyway, a wrong'un, though.
Again, it comes in waves, these songs. Just a da na 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 na. It starts off as a little bass. And then the guitar. Da na 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 da na bang. But by the time you get to the end of that song, that is one of the heaviest things you've ever heard. But
there is a background heaviness.
Yeah, it takes playing it over and over again for it to fully hit you. And I just love that, you know, the chorus. Something about the, we were referencing the Deftones earlier with that, and that. They call it shoegaze as well. That was another thing that came out. That was more for British bands, I think, though, where some music critics said the band were just gazing at their shoes, looking at the floor the whole gig. I remember, you know, those type of bands. But
oh, yeah, like Korn was and fucking the Deftones was for a while as well.
More bands like, I don't know, you have to look up shoegaze, but it was more of a strummy.
Oh, moody yeah. Strummy, me. Yeah. I was never really into that shit, to be fair.
There's a real urban grittiness about it as well. This is a great soundtrack to listen to if you're walking around the city for the day. And just that, when he goes, just to get caught! And then the way the guitars will just break down, you just get that little feedback-y before they then go back into
it's,
the main
It's riff. Got an earthy,
yeah.
Like, earthy sound to it. But it's got a raw sound to it.
It's those little sections that I love. I love the bending of the guitar at the end of the thing where he just rings it out. And yeah, it's all the little things in this songs that really get me, you know?
So, Dying Alone, little drum and guitar intro. I get Jane's Addiction vibes from it, if I'm honest, but not the fucking hit, not the hippie fucking Jane's Addiction shit. You know, the stuff that you're just like, oh man, we're fucking basically going arm and doing yogic fucking flips and shit. It's not that. It's the catchy stuff, and you've got the catchy hooks, and the middle section's cool. The solos are not, like, let's be honest, the best riffs are not the solos. The best riffs are the rhythm. The solos are just there and they work. But like, the riffs are fucking quality at times. Solo's a bit meh, but it works for what it is in the scope of the album. But like, I'll be honest, another good tune, and three tracks in, this is 100% better than the last album, but with three tracks in. That's all I'm saying. I fucking hated the last one. So if you haven't heard the last one, go back and listen to it, you cunt.
Again, really fucking great song. Again, that drum intro, when it riff kicks in, you've just got such a good groove. And then once that chorus kicks in, with those big calls, that it's just a fucking great song. I just love how it goes round and round. Really good lyrics to this song as well. It's an odd song, like, subject for a song, but it works. And again, when it comes to the solo interlude bit, I love it. It's just again, you mentioned Jane's Addiction earlier.
Just not the poncy stuff where the fucking they got weird little
Jane's
finger
Addiction
symbols and shit.
Amazing guitar work, but yeah, just that. With the guitar,
and then the screamy guitar, it's not an amazing solo, but it's a solo that just fucking works with it. And Jane's Addiction do that well, because the solos weren't amazing, it just goes, and they've got the main riff, like, they've got that main riff, and these have got that main riff, which shines above the solos, in all honesty.
Yeah, the solo section on this is brilliant, and again, it's got that. Just that summery vibe, just that sunset, getting pissed, sweaty venue, you know?
It is, and you've totally nailed it, to be fair, I'm enjoying it. Slip, he sounds like Ginger Wilder, but higher pitched, and you can see from this song why the Deftones were influenced by them. Not a bad track. I do feel the previous two, Pippa, and this is only a short one at about 2 minutes 22 seconds, so it's not too long. But there is some, like, this is the thing with this band. The rhythm riffs are very uplifting. It's a very uplifting kind of vibe coming from it. And they do write Happy Summer Rock really fucking well, having said that. And it's not a bad song, but previous two smashed it out of the fucking park. But yeah, happy sounding summer riffs. And that's what we were aiming for. And I think we've nailed it so far.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't go so far as to say they were a happy band. They're not like angsty, angry band either. I'm just
talking the riffs in general. They're not minor chords. They're nice chords. It's nice summery chords, and the lyrics could say anything at times. But the hook is always up, bringing you up rather than bringing you down. So he could say anything. It just works. It just sounds like happy summer music for me.
But this is a much more direct song. Again, none of them are particularly long, to be honest. It's all sort of a 3 minute mark. But yeah, this is a 2 minute 21 second song, and it just it just serves its purpose on the album, really. But it's got a very sort of basic riff leading up. But again, got a really good solo at the end, where it's like a strumming, dare I say, U2 style. A bit of guitar at the end, which
will be banned from the internet for that.
Well, you know, I know Bono fucking pisses a lot of people off, but you know, The Edge did do some good stuff on his guitar back in the day. I mean, fair enough, he overplays it now.
In the name of love, I like the guitar.
Great guitar on that, though. Yeah, that's it. And so just play this song now. It's just that, you know, and. The thing is, as well, it's odd because we're on this show, we break everything apart song by song. And maybe certain songs on this particular album may not stand up on their own unless you particularly knew this album in particular. When the song come on, you go, oh fuck, I know this, and you've got a special relationship with it. But this album really does work as one.
Well, they kind of sink into each other.
Yeah,
you'll notice that as you go into the next track, especially on Spotify, there's the feedback from the previous, and it is a whole package.
Yeah, and this is what I said earlier, right? That I can picture the band in the rehearsal studio. When you're rehearsing over and over again, you've got a live set next week, and you're doing your set over and over again. You've probably got like a half hour slot. We've got about 8 songs, and you play those 8 songs over and over again, over and over again, over and over again. And you do, Lynn, you do have this little bit where it's like a pause and you start to one. So that song ends, ba 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 ba. And then you do eventually, and you might even just bring in a new lead. And then you look at each other and then he starts the introduction to the next song. And
it does feel like head nodding music. You nod at your co-patriot and then you're into the next riff.
It plays like a live set. And again, We differ in opinion of bands that play a certain album in full, but I would love to see this album done in full. In fact, it would feel weird than playing any other songs, really. Mm. But because this plays like a live set, basically. I couldn't see them, especially when it was just this album, because this is the debut album. I think I did an EP before this. But
they've got 100 Reasons, catchy hooks going on.
100 Reasons are another band
we have to do one of their albums, mainly because I fucked off Slayer to go and see the acoustic one. And you know what, as much as I regret not seeing Slayer acoustically, fucking hell, man, I was blew away. I was fucking half cut and I really enjoyed myself, and I was a newbie to it as well, so it reminds me of that a lot.
I'm sorry to be a dick, and I hate to be that guy. I know how I sound when I say what I'm about to say.
Say it.
I loved 100 Reasons when they were putting out demos and singles, and I was completely underwhelmed when they put an album out.
I know what my evil album might be then.
It's not a terrible album, but they had easily, through EPs, singles, they easily had an album's worth of material that was better than that album. And I tell you what, the same thing went for Funeral for a Friend. The buzz behind Funeral for a Friend when that band came out, it was like, this is going to be the bollocks. This is going to be a fucking huge, totally underwhelming. They had like one good song on it. And again, their EPs were good.
Mm.
There was a lot of that with a lot of bands.
They need a fluffer. Don't put your good shit out first. Okay, good stuff out.
I saw 100 Reasons before they even signed, and they were phenomenal live, full of energy, fucking awesome.
Weird looking singer, but cool as fuck, to be fair.
Yeah, but he stood out. He had a big fucking afro, and he just come out in like a polo shirt and chino trousers. He's like, you all right? And then just...
Now he looks like Rod Hull.
And then, again, the guy just come out, just strumming the thing. How you doing, London? And as he literally just jumped, and as his feet touched the ground, the song kicked in, and that was it. But one thing as well, during those first couple of live sets, he used to shout, like, rah, da, 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 you know, and then when the album came out, he was all singing. The fuck was that all about?
I think someone took him aside, like record company, and said, you should do this because your voice won't last very long.
In all fairness, he was a good singer as well. Fucking Colin.
Oh, yeah.
His name was Colin
I think I fucked his name up because I was drunk. Ted said his name's... I just said Corin or something like that because I'd had a bottle of half a wine in this very, very posh fucking intimate venue in fucking posh part of North London. And I was just dead twatted. called him Corin.
Very cool band. I tell you what, they had a great song called Cerebra. That was a fucking fantastic song. Really full of energy. And very much like in the vein of Quicksand.
Any more for Slip?
No, I'm done.
Freezing Process, and it's spelt wrong. Why is it spelt wrong, and why is there a missing S? Was it cool to... Maybe they should just put Freezing Process with 2 Z's or something. It was just a thing. Nice bit of bass to open up with a bit of drums, and they clearly have a formula here that much is apparent, and I really like it. There's catchy hooks to fuck, and the chorus is spot on, and you get sucked in, because at the beginning of this song, I was like, ooh, I don't know what to think, and then the chorus just grabs you. Big fucking fish hooks, whale hooks, and dragging you in, and yeah. Melodic, catchy rock, and I like it, and it's songs to drink and fall over to in a field somewhere. Because we would normally be in a field. This time, fucking a few years ago, I was in Bloodstock drinking beers with people and talking shit. And this is the type of music you would like in the background when you're doing that. Do you know what I mean? That's what it is. It's good music.
Yeah, slight change of pace with this song. Starts off kind of mellow at the beginning. You've got that bass line. The bass on this, I think, is really good, by the way.
Yes. That's why I asked, is the bassist the singer? Because I feel like he's in charge.
The bass player is now in the Deftones.
Oh, is it the one I met?
Yeah.
With the purple hair who supports Liverpool? Yeah. Don't like him anymore. He's all right, though.
Sorry, I'm just biting a nail.
That's fine.
But yeah, this is a more mellower track. It builds up like all the other songs do. A good, nice, real catchy chorus. A great riff during that chorus as well. Get emotional singing from Walter.
Mm.
Again, they find the form. The rest of this is kind of a formula, and it is kind of all in the same sound. But it's a sound and a formula that a fucking million bands have ripped off since. And again, I'd much rather listen to Quicksand than their contemporaries at the time, Fugazi, Far, bands like that. I think Sunny Day Real Estate came later. But yeah, this is the one that's aged the best for me, this album.
It is proper, like, someone is, it's sitting around your tent, waiting for fucking the doors to open, having a can or having a shot or doing what you're doing, sitting with your tent, just trying to get your shit together, and you're just like, yeah, just trying to get into the vibe. It's that type of music. It is a summer tune, to be fair. And then we're on to Lie and Wait. It's another short song, and this is a bit of a step down in quality, but like, we're six songs in, and I haven't had anything I've disliked, and it's not a bad song. It flows well. It leads on to keeping the vibe of the album going, and I do like the speed up and the distorted bass at the end, but it's killer filler for me right about now. But like, yeah, the distorted bass is cool, man. Anyone who plays bass distorted, I instantly think of Lemmy, because Lemmy is God. But like, yeah, I like it. Not a bad song, but it is killer filler.
I think this one's pretty good, actually. I think as well, we had a slight change of place for the last song, but then it goes completely the other way on this song. I think it's got a real good fucking raw riff at the beginning of this. I'm just trying to fucking... And the slightly shouted vocals. It's got a real good groove on this one. This one, I can imagine, like, things kicking off in the pit. I think a lot of the, say we was watching this live, you'd have a bit of nodding going along, a bit of thingy. This is where a bit of pushing and shoving would get going. And this is kind of like the closest to like just a flat out punk song. It does kind of slow down in places as well. It has a like, little fucking dreamy bit, but then comes right up at the end. So like this kind of jammy sort of section. And then, yeah, like you say, it speeds up. But yeah, I think it's a really good song. I think it's
They've definitely got a jammy Wild Heart sound to them as well, though, because Wild Hearts were like that fucking like epic song I've played for you ages ago when we put it on the radio, because I've played it on the radio every opportunity you can. But like, it's got that jammy fucking we started and we'll go out there and we'll go there, and it is experimentation, and I'm all up for that, to be fair, if it's done right. And yeah, the last song wasn't done perfectly, but it was cool. Unfulfilled, little bass intro, woo, love it. Quite catchy in the verse, and I do get like Rage Against the Machine vibes from this. I like the change up at about 1:15. It is proper Wild Art / Rage, and the build up, they do very much slower build-ups. And there's lots of that going on. And yeah, it works good and it works well. And it's a lot better than what came before, in my opinion. And they really proper nail the hooks. And they was on my radar somehow. I remember hearing some of these tracks. Where the fuck I heard them, I don't know. But like, I don't understand from what I'm hearing now why I wasn't into them, because it when this came out, I was into the Wild Art, I was into something a little bit heavier and all this. It's like 1993. This would have floated me boat to death. So I don't understand why I wasn't there.
I think it was pushed at the time. I think it was on a smaller label than who else. I think it came out in 1993. I think if they were from Seattle and out a year earlier, it probably would have been pushed as a grunge album. Some bands, some albums aren't recognised straight away, you know, and some albums age better.
I distinctly remember listening to some of the songs off this album in a club setting and in someone's house. So yeah. Someone knew about them. I didn't at the time, but like it seems familiar, very familiar. And I'm trying to grasp at straws, but why? But the 90s was exceptionally messy for me in particular. So yeah, but like I remember it. So there's that.
Just a thing that when I mentioned earlier, the Gorilla Biscuits, when they said, "I'll play some Quicksand," and he started playing, this was the song he played.
Nice.
He just kind of went, dun, 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 yeah. And that's it, the old dun, 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 dun. But yeah, again, carrying on really, this is good catchy riffs, good catchy vocal sequences, good catchy choruses, nice screamy build-up-y, solo-y bit at the end. Again, the songs always build up. They're always going somewhere and then they get there and then finish quickly, you know? As much as there is a lot of jamming on this album, a lot of sort of spacey bits, they never outstay their welcome.
I agree. They don't milk it. There's no 7 or 8 minute fucking monsters on it.
Yeah.
Which can get a little bit draining if it isn't busy enough for me. It depends how it's done. I could sit there at 7 or 8 minute Doors track because it's all the same vibe. But rock music and metal music needs to be a little bit busier for me to give that much attention to one particular song. So yeah, I get that completely. Can opener, different opening to this one with the bell ringing out and there's decent little drum fills. Again, the hooks, they just nail the hooks. It isn't a bad song and it does seem like a bit of a departure from others on the album. And I actually think this is probably one of the hidden gems on the album, if I'm honest. I like the change up and then at the end you got your slow lounge lizard bit and yeah, good little track. And the drums and bass work together fucking fantastically here. And it works great. Less so with the singing. It just seems to be the rhythm section have got it nailed on this particular track. And the rhythm section drives this album for me a lot more than anything else. But yeah, Can Opener, good track.
Yeah, it's got that... I want to say this is killer filler or filler at all. It's just the second half of an album track. If that makes sense. It's just carrying things on. It is quite different to the songs previously. I think it's got a it kind of starts off quiet, builds up, and then when it builds up it goes back to the beginning with the bass line. It's a good solid track and a good addition to the album. Again, it just carries things on nicely.
Yeah, I agree.
Second half deep cut. That's what I'll put that one as.
Yeah, I think it's a little fucking hidden gem on it. It's probably overlooked, but there's a lot going on. Omission, bass intro. Oh, they do love a good bass intro, don't they? Another short song.
They put into good juice. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I like the riff and the wibbly bit. It's short and proper to the point. Slow, headbang, drunk rock music, and this works for me. And like. At 1 minute 40, they've got some low, weird vocals, which I like. And the guitars are okay, but they don't have to be amazing solo-wise because the riffs are better. The solos didn't fucking hit it for me at all. I wasn't overly impressed with them. But in the context of the music, they fit. And if it fits and it works, then I'll accept it. But there is some fucking mean rhythm riffs throughout this album that's just like, whoa, that's mental. And it proper links in and meshes together well. But yeah, solos, meh, but works. But mean riffs. I did magic, great track.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder who did come up with the riffs on this, because Rival Skulls weren't as thick and sort of choppy as these riffs are. Mm. I'm wondering how much Tom Capone, the other guitarist, had to do it. He was in a really good band after this as well called Hanson. And they put out one album that was pretty good, I remember.
Did I just thought you said Hanson, like Umbop.
As in Umbop, yeah.
Yeah, just no, Umbop popped into me. No, well, he made enough money.
Yeah. Can you imagine if like someone just from a lot of metal bands went played fucking bass in fucking...
Do you know what? For the paycheck. Yeah. Just to sort your family out. Couple of pools, cocaine and hookers, few million in the bank. Yes. Yes, I fucking would.
Again, this is another good track. Again, I wouldn't want to go into filler territory just yet, because it's not as standout as a few early tracks, but it does carry things on nicely, and it is a good, you know, a good song. Again, this really does feel as one piece of work. It's one listen, one sitting. You do need to listen to this whole album. I think Phaser, Dying Alone, maybe even Head to... I'd say like maybe the first four songs you could probably use as singles or tasters to get people into the thing. But the whole album works nicely as a unit. And again, it's just... I'm enjoying this listen. I'm glad to be digging this album out, wiping the dust off it and listening to it for again this week.
Like,
it's been good on a long drive.
I just have to talk about one of my new work colleagues just randomly, because we were talking about bass and he was asking me about headphones, and I'm going to point Sean to this, who I work with as well. Hi, Sean. He said, are them headphones any good? I went, what do you mean? Have they got good bass? And I just went, bass. Yes. It's bass. Bass is either a fish or... Shandy bass?
I've never heard anyone call bass bass.
Bass. Bass. So thanks, new half employer. But moving on. Baphomet, noise intro sounds like corn. The rhythm kicks in, it's good. They do love a good building slow fucking slowdown with the bass. It's an instrumental. Not bad music, but I have no time for instrumentals on albums, and we know this. Stick it on a B-side, be gone.
Again, I disagree. Some of my favourite songs by my favourite bands are instrumentals. Transylvania, Iron Maiden, Orion, Metallica.
But there's a time and a place, I don't know. I when it gets to a certain, like... vintage, I'm just turned off by it. I don't know why that is, because I agree, because Orion's good and a lot of songs are good, but like, yeah, that after a certain time frame I tend to turn off from it.
I like, think as well,
late 80s, early 90s, then I'm gone and I'm not into an instrumental.
This is sort of part two of the previous song as well. The again, it fits in with the rest of the album musically, again with the riffage and the solos, the way it goes off on one. The mark of a good instrumental is that you don't need vocals. You couldn't actually fit any in if you could.
Mm.
But again, I think this song would work really well live. I bet when if they did do a show where they played this album in full, when it got to this song, I bet this would be the highlight of the show, because the band would just go off on one and just completely go for it.
I think it might be a piss break for the singer
as
well.
It may even be twice as long as well, dare I say.
Yeah, because they'll jam the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
I can see that, but I don't know. It's not for me, really. But you like it, you like it. Two official, T-double-O. Bass intro. The bass player is in charge here, and rightly so, because there is many a fucking bass intro. I've really enjoyed it. It's been baking hot this week, and on the way to the work, I've blasted it, and it's put me in a fucking great mood. Like, I've had a mad week last week, and my head was twatted, but this album has put me in such a fucking great mood. Work happy, and using the phrase, It's brilliant all the time. Happy Music for Good Times, another fucking great track. And after last week of panning the fucking album, it's good to get some music that I can enjoy and find some fun with and build up my enthusiasm for what's happening.
Again, we're sort of winding down and we're coming to the end of the album. Again, after the long, jammy instrumental, I think this is just a little palate cleanser, really. It's quite, it's just a balls to the wall song.
It's proper.
It's nice and simple.
It's been 27, 28 degrees this week, and I'm in the morning. Like, and I've been walking to work, blasting this out, and I've just instead of just walking like it's morning, I've been bouncing down the road, proper like Pac-Man eating the fucking ghosts. It's proper brought me up, man. It is a proper summer album, and you fucking nailed it.
Cool. So yeah, it comes to an abrupt ending as well. And then we come to the final track. I love the opening.
Love that little riff. That riff is cool.
Yeah. And I think, again, an underrated track and I think a really good sign of a really good album is when one of the highlights is the final track. Like when that's when the final track's like one of the best songs on the album. And I just think, again, it's a consistent album. It's kept a formula and a style all the way through. They've carved out their own style during this album. And I think they've really sort of gone off with a fucking bang on this last track because they've taken all the elements that they've used and just used them to their absolute... Everything's sort of firing off on cylinders and everything's used to its maximum, but not in a way where it could be used as a single, but they are using all the elements at their peak to make a fucking dramatic closure to the album.
I've got an analogy in a minute, yeah. But please go on.
No, I'm pretty much done.
So the little riff at the beginning is fucking good. It's a really good catchy little riff, and that's the thing, the solos won't stick in your head but the riffs will. This song works great. I would say this song, like, I had a period in life where I drank Guinness, and this song is the head at the top of your pint of Guinness. It's the perfect frothy ending to a good pint. Catchy hooks, good riffs, fuck loads of fucking solo bass action, and a nice little happy vibe guitar wise underneath. Good closer to the album, man. It really is. You know when you finish your pint of fucking Guinness or Beamish or whatever black shit you drink, it's nice, and yeah, it just closes it off nicely. That's my analogy, and yeah, I've really enjoyed listening to this week. It's been great.
In order to use a beer analogy, this is a cold beer on a hot day. I find this, it's always a refreshing listen. It's always a fucking, just a really cold album to put on. When there's, you know, it's a good fucking album to sort of stare out your window to while it's playing, really.
It's a good album to walk down past the boats and go to work and just wake up to, because it just puts you in that proper frame of mind where you're bouncing. And and it would be definitely at the front of the festival or in the tent getting twatted at fucking 3 o'clock when the good bands are not on, you get pissed in your tent or whatever. It's got that kind of festival vibe to it, man. It is really fucking, like, it's a proper... a summer album, and you nailed it to fuck.
Cool.
So let's give it a rating. I'll go last because I'm going to take my last sip of wine.
Yeah. Again, this is an album that, what do I say? It's an album that rewards repeated listens. It's an album that I've returned to since I was a teenager. A lot of the music I listened to as a teenager I've long discarded. But this is an album that I always revisit like an old friend. Again, it's a real good feel-good album. It's a good refreshing album to listen to when you're blasting other things. But then you've got this nice, warm, spacey, airy, dreamlike album that's also packed with fantastic riffs, fantastic choruses, great songs all round. And it's not something I listen to a lot, but when I do listen to it, I'm always glad I have. And for me, this is a solid 8 out of 10. But I do think it is a 10 out of 10 album in the big, wider spectrum of music. It's had a massive influence on many a band, and many a musical genre. There's bands that are influenced by this album that probably haven't even heard it.
Agreed. There's a lot going on, and I'm going to agree with 8 out of 10. Happy, fun, good music to be listening to. The sun is out. You want to have a beer. You want to enjoy yourself, and this is enjoyable fucking rock music. It's not more, not less. It's not pretentious. It's not fucking the fucking rock by numbers you hear now. It's good stuff, and it's good stuff to listen to, and it's been really enjoyable week for me. Banter down with the sun out, and I wasn't going to have a drink, and then I just said to you, let's do it Wednesday night because I'm off the next day, because it was just like, this is making me want to have a nice adult beverage and talk about it, because it's been a really good album for me. Joe, anything to plug?
Check out my new YouTube channel, The Nightmare Cabin.
Nice.
Nightmare Cabin, no the. I'm just doing a little bit on the, as well as the podcast. I'm just doing some. The podcast, we're always having to do, you know, listen to the album for a week and then do the actual show. And there's a lot of preparation that goes into it. And I'm always overflowing. There's most of albums I want to cover that I can't quite have the time to cover. And then at certain things, I just don't think you're going to be into. So I just.
As much fun as so, hating every album that you like, it's not fun for people to listen to every fucking week.
There's a few things as well. I want to start doing some videos where I go for a band's whole catalogue, a few underrated things I want to plug.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows? You may even watch a couple of videos and go, fuck it, I want to review that now. I've got a few ideas that I want to do as well. So. Yeah, just like sometimes when a person in a band does a solo album, there's like, I've just wrote these songs that just wouldn't fit on the band's album, so I need to get these out. That's basically what I'm doing.
I'm going to cross-pollinate your shit and turn up in one of your YouTube videos.
Course. Yeah, you're going
to. You deserve it.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a.
We've got to do a live one. That's
I'm
what we
doing
need
some
to do.
Streams as well. And,
we've got to work out a way to do our old show.
On a couple of them, so
we'll have to work out how we do our old show from the radio on the internet, because I've watched bands jam the fuck out. That would be just dead fun. We just have to get a load of beer in, talk shit, and just stream until somewhere bans us. I'm not sure. YouTube's a bit of a come for that, so we probably have to find somewhere else to do it. But that'd be dead fun.
Bit shoots the
sound. We'll do it there. Magazine-wise, anything else to plug there?
I'm working on something really cool for Metal Legion. Holy Terror.
Nice. That's on my regular random play on my phone, and I listen to some Holy Terror on the way.
I'm going to be doing a pretty in-depth article on those two albums, and I've even got an interview set up with the guitarist.
Nice.
To give me some real insight into those two albums. So... there's loads of cool stuff coming out of Metal Legion next year. I don't want to say nothing too much yet, because I want to make it a nice surprise when it comes out, but Metal Legion is firing all cylinders at the moment.
Nice, and that's what we like to hear. You can find us on Twitter at Rock Show Online, on Facebook The Rock Show Online. If you enjoyed the show, share the show. Don't be a cunt. Thanks for listening. See you later.